ill will were relieved. He said that first he expressed considerable understanding and appreciation for the pressures, unfair pressures on you from many sources in terms of doing things that you felt were not ready to do. And he said that Kennedy felt this same kind of pressure, that only the president could be the judge of when was the best time in his scheme of things to decide. And he said, secondly, that he had not seen any difficulty in decision making on your part recently, that he found you completely receptive to advice that he considered important and not strained in any way. Thirdly, he knew that he had, I think he used the word actually, gone against the president's instructions or wishes on these speeches. But he reiterated to me what he said was my honest understanding of the president's desire, stated 3 or 4 months ago, to make some speeches in the right way, and that he was also felt that it was good to take some of the pressure, some of the criticism from the liberal community, academic community, away from the president and attach it to him and Dean Rusk and others. And the upshot of it was, as best I could tell, Bundy was trying to say to me, look, if the president has any idea that anything's wrong with me, I hope he will not entertain them very long, because there's not. He's saying I'm very happy at my job. So, well, then he went on a discussion of, he did not think the White House and the president were being well served by the Department of State. He didn't mention any names, but he just said that the system over there is he just repeated what you can hear anywhere about the State Department. And it was a very pleasant but candid hour's lunch, in which I thought he was trying to be open and direct.
Well, you see, they would naturally talk to Bundy and to Larry and to Dick and to Lee White. That's where they would start. Then they'd take on the independent fringe people, I think they'd consider, like Cater. Maybe Harry. They're kind of liberal and on the fringe, and not known as tied too closely, and then move in. I would imagine, though, that this started with Bundy, because he's had to be set down a time or two. I don't know, were you in there the other day when he, I'm sure you weren't, he insisted on bringing up the Javits resolution. And I said, now we'll think about that. Well, he said, we've got to decide it and bring it up. And I just had to finally just really embarrass him and say, put that aside now. I've told you 2 or 3 times, quit that. Let's go on to the agenda.
No, wasn't it?
But it was real. It was rather rough. And I think we have a good deal of that. And, well, I've got to go see
okay.
The key thing. But it's, what you've got to do is 2 things now with your press. Go out there and relieve your tensions after talking to me, and let them talk to you some so you can see it. And I think if I were you, I would take the line that we have had a good many differences within the administration debate back and forth that I have to resolve on everything from the formation of the poverty campaign and where to put the responsibility to what we're going to do on the farm bill, to what we do on education, to what we do on medical care by taking extra money in. By going so far as we've gone in education, and that those things have been argued out. Sometimes you thought we were going too fast, too far, and sometimes I thought we're not going far enough, or vice versa. And that we have had to debate them and get consensus. And we've done it on our monetary policy, and we've done it on all of these things, that we get different viewpoints from time to time on Mansfield and Dirksen, Fulbright, all of them on foreign policy, and we consider every one of them conscientiously, and then decide them. And we haven't gone as far as Jerry Ford didn't think we ought to do the bombing. We've gone farther than Mansfield thinks we ought to. So we've tried to honestly do what we think's right. And I think I'd bring Sidey in to see us. He's an awfully strong Kennedy man. And he's actuated by Bobby. And you can see the crowd that's doing this. Bobby's going to Latin America now. He's got Gilpatrick working for him. And you saw the Gilpatrick story in Time this morning. New York Times, that's not accidental.
I saw that. Hutch, I think there's a lot can be done with just more candidness. I think that's our basic problem. As I mentioned to you before, our images do result primarily to their interpretation of our being overly secretive. I just think more candid and sincere discussion.
And I just think that you ought to say that on Jack's speech, that you know that it's amusing to some of them that a man should have this affection for another man. But that you believe that if they will look at anyone who has been with me 25 years, whether it begins with Juanita, whether it begins with John Conley, or whether it begins with Walter Jenkins, or whether it begins with Bill White, or whether it begins with Gou Lincoln, who wrote the first story here about me, that you'll find that all of them have this feeling and that you have it. And that as far as this business of saying somebody's a messenger boy, you just never have heard that. And that you have always given your honest opinion. And a good many times you've been vetoed. But you expect that a careful analysis would be that at 30 years old, you have made more big decisions that have been approved by the president than would have been approved if you'd been working for AT&T.
Which is true.
I don't think it's any question. I think it's the whole legislative program, 95% of them made that are approved. And I would imagine AT&T's president and stockholders would have held you back on a good many things as suggested. And one of them you settled yesterday. Another one's the Howard University speech. And a good many things of this type. Now, there's beautification, the way we went for it. And I think that I would say that, Tom, and just say now, I know that I'm not supposed to be a Sorensen, but here Sorensen went much stronger than Jack did. He said that Kennedy was Christ, comparative to Christ. But the feeling was that they had a better feeling for Kennedy. Then they've never liked Jack because they feel Jack is a personal servant of mine, and he is wonderful for me. He is not irritating to me. He's pleasant. He's soft. I think you're good for me. I think Buzz is good for me. I think Harry is awfully good for me. I don't have men that clash with me. Marvin. And Marvin just says every day, Mr. President, I don't think I want to do this. But he does it in a nice, kind way.
That's very true, Marvin.
And they don't know that. And they've got to see that. And I just say the most obstinate man in government is Horace Busby. You can't move him an inch. But he's not a fellow that shouts and gets in a big fight. And he writes his memo, and the boss looks and calls him up and says, you're right. I do a little of that. I'll see you for a while. Bill, appointment, Bill.